Good morning, church. that's powerful. It's like, you know, Tsonga is one of those powerful, you know, languages, and it was great to actually come here and get to sing in my, you know, language. So that was awesome, you know. So praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for the different languages. And that he loves us differently, different as we are, as he has actually just made us. God loves us like that. And we can come to him, you know, the way he actually has made us, and come and just enjoy him and glorify him. So we bless the name of the Lord. It's been a joy, and it is still a joy just to be here with you all this morning. And one thing that has still struck me so far, and I think it's every Sunday, it's not just today, but it's every day. It's the God-centeredness of your meeting and the worship, everything. And I've just been blessed, you know, just to sing and come into the Word of God and open the Word of God and read. And it's no man that we're listening to, but we're listening to the living Word of God. And that has just been a blessing. And what a joy it is. And I hope to just continue to do the same. That's my hope this morning, to be able to just encourage us to continue to worship and to worship God. And now to do that as we look into his word. So I'm going to read from Exodus 33. Starting from verse 17, I'm going to read from 17 to 23. And I'm going to read from 34, chapter number 34, verse 4 to 7. I understand you guys have been memorizing this, but yeah, I am preaching it. So if you've been hearing it a lot, don't blame me. Yeah, it just happened that you guys have been going through the same thing, and I only just found out this morning that you guys have been. I'm like, okay, that's nice. I might not even need to read it because you guys, I'm sure you have it in memory by now. So it'll be nice. So you can follow, you know, just with the eyes closed and remember the scriptures there. So let us read quickly. Chapter number 33, verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do for you, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for men shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." 34, verse 4. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Let us pray. God, indeed, this is your word, and we bless you for it. For your word is perfect, and your word is alive, and we have a privilege now of getting to hear from you. And we just want to ask, Lord, that you would help quieten our hearts, that we'll be able to listen to you. Glorify yourself, O God, even just by, you know, through this reading. And now, even as we listen, may you let your light just shine in our hearts that we may be able to just behold you, that we may be able to leave this place, Lord, having seen you, having understood you, that we may be able to go out to live with you. Help us, because, oh Lord, we know our minds are really prone to wandering. There's many things, many thoughts that might just come. But we ask, Lord, that you would keep us focused on your word. Help us to learn, help us to see you today, and help us to exalt you in our hearts, even as we think about you. In Jesus' name, amen. What we find here is God answering Moses in this passage, even as Moses has spoken to the Lord and he made a request. And that is why I took time to just read the whole thing, so we make sure that we get where it's actually coming from. Moses made a request to the Lord, say, Lord, I want to see your glory. And God responds now to Moses to proclaim his name. And God makes his goodness to pass by Moses. So what we now read, my focus is going to be what we have in chapter number 34 and verse 6. Where God reveals his character to Moses. In verse 5, we read that God descended in the cloud and proclaimed the name of the Lord. God's name is more than a title. He says, I will proclaim my name. But it's not just going to say, I'm just going to be, you know, just saying my name. God's saying, I'm going to actually just tell you who I am. I'm going to just open up the kitchen so you can actually see who I am. Because God's name, it's not just a title, but it embodies who he is, all that God is, and it expresses his attributes. It expresses his nature, his character. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. What I'm going to try and do today is just to do like, you know, a topical type of preaching sermon, going through different verses anchored on this, going through other verses in the Bible, looking at God's patience. So for children, you're going to listen for patience. You listen to the word patience, right, and count as many, you know, words that you would hear. So we're going to be talking about God's patience. And I'm going to be looking at only just 3 points. God's patience, we look at what it is. We look at God's patience in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look at God's patience in salvation. Our first point, God's patience. So what is it? What does it mean that God is slow to anger? That God is slow to be angry? We read that, but what does it mean? This means he withholds his punishment towards those who sin against him. Simply put, God is patient. It is who he is. It is his person. God is patient, is patient as God is love, as God is holy, as God is gracious, as God is merciful, as God is just, or as God is wise. God is patient. He is a patient God. He is slow to anger. He is long suffering. God is patient because he is a merciful and a gracious God. His patience is basically an extension of his goodness. God is patient because he's a good God. And we will see that even as we go down. He desires to save. He's a God who wants to rescue. He's a God who wants to redeem from those that are suffering, from those that are in sin, those who are struggling. That is the God who just is moved and is a merciful God. He sees suffering, he is moved to want to help. And there are times when, yes, there is sin that is there, but God is a God who is a good God, and is a God who is a Savior. And he wants to save, he wants to rescue. And God is a patient God. And unlike us, God is not controlled by emotions. He is not ruled by anger, where he just reacts when he is insulted. Because sin is actually an insult against God. It's me going back and says to God. But God is not just moved by emotion. He doesn't react. He doesn't react because he just want to punish. I mean, you know how we are as men. Someone does something wrong, I just want to snap. I just want to make sure you feel pain because you wronged me. You wronged me. I need you to feel pain right now. God doesn't react like that. God always calmly responds with proper affection according to his sovereign plan. He bears long with sinners. He bears long with people who offend him. He delays the execution of justice on sin so that people can turn to him and find forgiveness and find life. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? This is the heart of God. Although he hates sin, he doesn't like sin, and he will punish sin. As we read in the verse that he will punish, and sin has its own consequences, not a good thing. Yet, he is good. He is good, and he withholds punishment because he would rather have people repent and leave. This is mind-blowing when you think that this same God is of so pure eyes that he cannot behold sin. Habakkuk 3:1 verse 13 tells us. Habakkuk is like, I mean, you're bringing what, the Babylonians to come to us? I mean, how do you let that? Look at these guys. Look at what they've done in the world. They're so bad. How do you do that? How do you look down? Your eyes are so holy, oh God, that you cannot look at sin. Your eyes are so pure that you cannot look at sin. So when you think of this God who is this holy, who hates sin with everything of his being, his holiness would bend against sin, his justice would say sin needs to be punished, but yet he sees it and it's a God who says, patiently, he waits. Patiently gives time because he's a merciful and a gracious God. He's a good God. It doesn't mean that he will leave sin unpunished, but he delays his punishment. And I have a picture that I added there, and I want you to think of a bomb. Think of God's patience, think of a bomb. A bomb usually has a fuse, and a fuse basically is a cord or a rope that transmits the flame. So when you, you know, set alight that rope, it bends. It bends, and then when it gets to the end of the bomb, bomb detonates, boom! There's a big explosion. For the bomb to explode, the whole rope has to bend. The time it takes for the bomb to explode depends on the length. The shorter the length, the quicker it will take for the bomb to detonate. But the longer the rope, the longer it will take for the bomb to explode. When it comes to God, God's rope, God's fuse is not long. It's very long. God is very patient. That is who he is. The declaration that God makes in Exodus 34, verse 6, about his character became the song even for the people of Israel. When they think of God, think of his mercy, think of his grace, think of his slowness, this became their song as a whole nation. Through the Old Testament, the psalmists, the prophets quoted Exodus 34, verse 6, that God is merciful and gracious, he is slow to anger. And you look at that and it's like repeated so many times, like, why? They loved thinking about it. They loved just going back and just thinking about it. Because it was truth for them. They had seen it, known it. Not that just God had said it to Moses, even as we have read. They had experienced it. Because even in the passage where Moses says, God, show me your glory, if you think about it, they had just sinned against God. There is a big calf that they actually made, the golden calf. They're doing all these things. But God, guess what? He forgives. God is patient with them. As Moses intercedes for them, God is like, it's okay, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to get them to the promised land. I'm not just going to leave on them on the way. I'm going to get in there with them. God could have actually just wiped them all out right away, but he didn't. Patiently worked with them, worked with them. I mean, we read in Acts, 450 years, they finally made it to where God said they were going to get to, from the promises that were made. But God kept it. But in between that, there was just a lot of rebellion, rebellion after rebellion after rebellion. And God could have just said, whoop, done. But guess what? He keeps going. He's with them. He keeps going. You know why? He's a good God. He's a good God. A God who is patient. The people of Israel delighted in the character of God. And so we should. So we should. We sang the song, Behold Our God. Why? Because God is that powerful. He's that magnificent. We want to delight ourselves in him. And what he tells us here in Exodus 34 verse 6, it's who he is. We want to think about his mercy. We want to think about his grace. We want to think about his patience, his steadfast love for us. This is who God is. They delighted themselves in this character of God, everything that he reveals of himself. And they just continuously remember that. It's not there just for them. Everything that has been written is also written for us about God that we may be able to see and also delight ourselves in it. Sometimes we know God's patience extends so long. The Israelites, yes, they praise God, patient. But sometimes the patience of God would extend or seems to extend so long that people would even seem like they are puzzled by it. You read Psalm 94, verse 3. The psalmist says, oh Lord, how long shall the wicked continue? How long shall the wicked exalt? You read there in Revelation 6, verse 10. I mean, there's like the cry of the martyred saints, where they cry out, oh sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge or avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long? Yes, sometimes we might feel perplexed because God does not move at our pace. However, we need to remember he's God. His patience, it's actually a good thing because it's the character of God. That with him, we need to remember a day, it's like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. God is God. We are not. We delight in it. We need to. But we know sometimes, though you delight, like these guys, they're like, it looks, I mean, where is this God here? But it's remembering. He's here because he is actually God. He is in no rush. This is who he is. Our God is patient. And we can praise him and find comfort in that. Instead of like, you know, being perplexed and maybe even complain or even come and like, hey, I'm going to ask a lot of questions to him. We can actually find comfort in God's patience. It is for us to behold. God is for us to behold. God is for us to enjoy. For children, that very important question of the Shorter Catechism, our end is to honor God, to glorify him, to enjoy him forever. And what he reveals about himself in scriptures for us to just behold and enjoy. And his patience is one of those beautiful things about God. We need to marvel. We need to delight ourselves because it is God's perfection. I cannot look at God and go, why are you like that? Why are you so patient? He's so patient, and it's for us to really see it, marvel, enjoy it, and praise him for it. Because it's a good thing that God is patient. And we will see why it's a good thing that he is patient, and why we should actually celebrate this. It also should just convict us and it should challenge us. Change our hearts, because when you look at someone like God who's this patient, I need to be able to reflect and look at myself and says, where am I? It should encourage us also to always run to God. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it and is safe. When people of Israel grumbled, when they rebelled against God, now later on, just before they went into the promised land, in Numbers 14, the spies come back, they say, hey, we saw these big giants in Canaan. And the guys are like, we're not going there. Moses, why did you bring us from Egypt to just come and die here? They complain and grumble against God. And God is like, I'm done with these people, Moses. I mean, like all these years, and now we're here, and this is what they do. I'm done with them. And Moses pleads with them. He pleads with the Lord. He pleads with the Lord. He intercedes for them. And you know what he does? Is he intercedes for them? He goes and he quotes the same words that God had actually just declared. He says, verse 17 of Numbers 14, he says, and now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will not, by no means clear the guilty. And then verse 19, he says, forgive just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt until now. God had been patient. They do it again. And now it's like, I'm going to take them out. And Moses is like, Lord, just remember, this is who you are. You've done it. Please just save your people. And guess what? God relents. And then he saves them and they continue. And he stays with them. For Moses, as it should be for us, God's patience should make us run to him. Moses did not turn away. When these people did this and all of this happened, he did not run. It should make us to run to him. God's patience is there for us to run to remember, even as we go through those times where we actually fall short of what God requires of us. Praise God that he is actually patient. Where would we be if it was not for his patience? Think about it. Where would we be if it was not for his patience? Look at your life. Look at the world around us. Think of evil. Think of all the sin that you see in the world. I mean, as we sit here, you go out, there's sirens everywhere. I mean, at night, there's so many things going on. You go to the hospital ward, you go to the emergency ward, so many things going on. There's blood all over the place. There's wars going on everywhere. And guess what? I would doubt that many of these people, as they fight and they say, one is like, hey, you know what? I'm doing this because of the righteousness of God and I'm fighting for. It's all about us. Everything is happening just because of it's us. And do you think God likes it? Because I'm killing the other person because he has something that I want? It's evil. It's sin. I'm stealing from this one. I'm killing that one. I'm lying there. I'm doing this. This nation is bombing the other one. And guess what? God is here. He's above it all. And you think he does not see it? He does. Does he not care? He does. Does his wrath not burn against that? It does. It's sin. Everything of God in his character detests that. But is he punishing it right away? Is he going to zap right now? I mean, think about yourself if you're a believer as you sit here today. Where would you be if it wasn't for God's patience? If today, as you sing the songs and glorifying Christ, saying, we have Christ, we're standing only in him, where would you be if it wasn't for God's patience? Think about it. How long did it take you from when you were born to the point where you actually believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at that point, going back to when you were born, how many of the wrongs you have done against God? Did he zap you? Patiently, worked with you, waiting. You know why? Because he's a good God. merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And this leads us to the second point. God's patience is actually seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate example of God's patience is his waiting for individuals to respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3 verse 23 says, "We all have fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins." From the fall in Genesis, when the trouble came, trouble runs. From that time, God demonstrates his patience to his creation. He could have just like scratch everything, start from scratch, or I'm done. But from that point, God demonstrates basically his patience. He could have wiped everything off, and that would have been right for him. That would have been good for him, but he did not do it. It is not like the offenses that were committed from that time were not against his holiness. It's not that they did not matter. They mattered. Why? Did he just wait? Because he's a good God. And we read that instead of just wiping, after thousands and thousands of years, he continued to work out his plan, bearing with our faults, the faults of humanity. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins, so that he can be just and the justifier. God did not ignore all the sins that were committed. If you think about it, he did not just ignore them. Everything that was done before the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, in his patience, he stored up his anger. He stored up his wrath. And you know what he did? He poured it all out. He poured it all out on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that in Christ, all of us can have life, past, present, future, can have life in Christ. God worked patiently until at the right time, he sent his son to come to be a way to redeem all of us as humanity. That right time was Jesus. That right time was the Lord himself. Our sins of past and of now, and whatever that is going to happen, has been nailed on Christ. There is forgiveness because of Christ. God has made a way that his wrath that would burn against any man, he pours it all out on Christ. And you know what he says? He says, look to him. Look to him. Put your faith in him. You will have life. God desires that no one would die. He's not pleased with the death of sinners. He's not pleased when men die in their sin. He would rather have men repent and have life. And he has made a way. And he patiently works with us. He patiently works with us. That is God's love. That is God's goodness. The Lord Jesus Christ. The patience of God until he comes. And now you're like, but where do I come in? How do I even come in? How does that work out for me? And that leads us quickly to the third point. God's patience, nicely seen, clearly displayed even in salvation. If you think of you now, think of your salvation. If you're not a believer, I want you to also consider that salvation. 2 Peter 3 verse 15 says, consider also that our Lord's patience brings salvation. Just as our beloved Paul, brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom God gave him. God's patience is shown to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to see, as I have said, God's patience, look at Jesus. How does it actually relate with me? If you are a believer, look at Jesus. If you are an unbeliever, how does it relate to you? I want to call you again and say, look, let's look at the Lord Jesus. And there is one powerful example I want us to consider. There is no better testimony of God's patience that I could find easy to relate to than the one of the Apostle Paul. And I want us to actually just focus on that. The Apostle Paul, and if you think about it, he experienced patience and he speaks about it and he exalts it in God's word. Paul was a blasphemer, he says. He says, I was a persecutor of the church. You know, what one thing that I was passionate about, Paul says, I actually hated the church. If there's one thing I lived for that got me excited and gave me a reason to live every day was to persecute the church. That was me. I lived every day to do that. I was an opponent of Jesus. He did not want to do anything with Jesus. He didn't want anything to do with Jesus. His passion was to wipe out Jesus and wipe out all his followers. That was Paul. And because of this, he even calls himself the least of the apostles. He says, I actually am the least. And you know why? He's well aware of what he was like. He was well aware of what he was like. He says there in 1 Corinthians 15, 9, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. That was me. Meaning, in human terms, Paul knew that his action would have disqualified him. If it was all of us here, and we had a guy who's coming here to the church every day, he's taking our speakers as we're sitting and worshiping there, and he would cut our cables, he actually would just spray us all with water, or just be chasing us, or shooting at us, or coming with knives, whatever that would come with. If that is the type of guy, you know, he comes and does that, I mean, the one thing that would come is like, this guy needs to go to hell. That would be our natural response. God, send this guy to hell right now. I mean, the Samaritans, Jesus Christ is walking with the disciples, and they're like, hey, you know what? Jews, Samaritans, we don't have to mix here. And they're like, Lord, can you zap them right now? Zap them. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't. He doesn't. Paul understood this was him. He deserved nothing but to be disqualified by, you know, how we would treat each other as humans. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not write him off. That guy, if he was to walk here and he was to do all those bad things to us, God would not write him off. Paul was not written off. He killed, he persecuted, he punished in every way you can think of believers. I mean, you just imagine, they're like, God, why do you want to come with this guy here? I mean, he's just killed my aunt, he's killed my brother. Why would he come to our midst? That is what we would have said. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't. And you know why? Because he's a good, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, loving God. That is the good news. That is the good news. Jesus is not like us. That is the good news. He did not write Paul off. He did not just send them to hell right away. Instead, Jesus waited patiently for Paul, extended his heart, saw him doing everything extended his heart, long-suffered, allowed his anger just to against him. And we read there, listen to what Paul says in his own words in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 to 16. He says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason. What reason? That in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Because of the Lord Jesus' patience, Paul found salvation. He found salvation only because Jesus was patient with him. He could have just zapped him, but he didn't. He found salvation. This is to say that Jesus' patience is enough. His patience is enough for sinners. He can save anybody. He can save everybody you can think of. He can do for others what he did for Paul. That means no one is beyond his perfect patience. And I wanna really put emphasis on that. No one is beyond the perfect patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not take pleasure in the death of sinners. Paul's story, if you are a believer here today, it's actually your story. If you want to think of a better testimony, forget Paul's. Think about your one. God was patient with you. God was patient with me. If we all are believers, God has been patient with all of us. Isn't that the reason to praise him? Isn't that the reason to be wowed by him? Isn't that the reason to come before him and say, Lord, thank you. I mean, where would we be if it wasn't for God's patience? Where would we be today? When you think about it, even as I already just asked, you were not perfect, I'm sure you know. When God saved you, you were not. You know yourself better than we know. You know what was going on in your heart, in your mind. You even know how you viewed God. But you know what? He worked with you patiently. This is a reason for us to praise him. This is the reason for us to worship him. When we sing and we read those scriptures and we memorize those verses, are not just words that are there, but it's like, this is real. I've seen it. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is slow to anger. How do you know? Look at me. You call them, say, look at me. God is real. This is not just words. It's not just like some fantasy. It's real. It's life. That is the God of the universe. He says, behold who I am. Who is like me? I mean, we know how we fail to be patient with other people, to do good to other people. We offend God, and yet, look at Paul. I mean, Stephen is stoned. He's stoned in front of Paul, and he's just there standing and just looking at this brother. I mean, you read the story in Acts, you're like, I mean, he just opens his eyes. Yes, he's delighted to go to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. But you're like, why, God, let your son, this is your beloved child, Stephen, why let him die like this? Why let him be stoned like this? And you save this Paul? But God is patient. This is our God. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, bow and worship him. That is the God of the Bible. That is the God we want to enjoy. We want to glorify. We want to delight in. We want to run to. You know why? He's a good God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And that is for us to enjoy about him. And Christ, Christ makes all of that real. Paul says, look, perfect patience. The persecutor, blasphemer, the hater of the church, the hater of Jesus himself, becomes a child of God. And he's set on fire. He comes. I mean, that passage we read in Acts 13. He's like, look at what God has done in this man's life. Yet, think about it. If God had done it to Paul, he could have like sent him to hell already. But he didn't. And Paul will enjoy God's blessing. He's already in God's presence. And he will enjoy God's blessing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And yet, he has done all of those because Jesus died for his sins. Jesus already died for his sins. He died for them. When he came and he repented from his sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, God just gave him a new slate. He's like done, perfect, righteous. Why? Only because of Jesus. Jesus, the perfect patience. The perfect patience of God. So that we do not have to suffer. God's kindness is like that. You're like, Paul in glory? He's in glory? Yes, he is. So is any man, bad as he might be, any man can be made right, cleaned, given a new life, given a new heart, as long as we turn away from ourselves and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is what God is actually just doing. Even as I stand here, even as the words are read, even as sermons are preached from this pulpit, and his word read, you might be an unbeliever and you're sitting here, you're like, Romans 2 verse 4, it says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? God's patience is not, it's not a ticket for us to sin. That's not what it's for. It doesn't mean I need to continue to sin because God is patient. God does not condone sin. He is a patient God, but he doesn't condone sin. Instead, God's patience should lead us to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not that God will never act against the rebellious people who reject this pardon that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who rejects Jesus is basically saying, I will face God by myself. That's what he's basically saying. I will face God by myself. Keep your patience. It's fine. Take it if you want. It's fine. Take Jesus away. Fine. I will stand before God by myself. That's what we basically say. But it's a foolish thing. The book of Hebrews tells us to fall in the hands of that God. To fall in the hands of the living God. Anyone who rejects Jesus rejects the only way you can find your sins to be forgiven. There is no other way. Jesus. It's only in Jesus. When you look at the around us, you look at the world, and some people might look at that, and there is also a passage like that in Scripture. If you think of 2 Peter 3, verse 9, thoughts, where you look at the world around, like life is just continuing as normal. I mean, who is Jesus? People celebrate, they go to church, they do this, this Good Friday, it's fine, Christmas. We just love it that we get to do what we like to do. I mean, the world has been moving on the way it has been since the Lord Jesus Christ went to heaven. I mean, like, really? Why should I be concerned? Give me another 10 years, I will do the same thing that I've been doing. One might think like that, but that's foolish. To think there would be tomorrow, foolish. 2 Peter 3, 9 says, God, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You know why? Because he's a good God. This is actually a warning. So if you are an unbeliever, listen to it. He is not slow. He's not slow, and it doesn't mean that he does not care about that sin. He does. He's just a patient God and a good God. And he allows you to listen to his word so that you can be reminded, come, come. I will forgive, come. Because you don't want to face my wrath. Come. He calls us. Look at my son. Look at my son. You remember the analogy of the bomb? You can go back to that bomb, Mulus. Just like that cord of a bomb, long as it might be, eventually that cord bends out. Doesn't matter how long it might be, it will burn out. And you know what would happen? It's a big explosion, great damage, great loss. And so God's patience against wrongdoers who reject Jesus does not last forever. One day it will explode, and those who have not asked for forgiveness will suffer great loss, because they will be sent away from God to hell forever. Turn to Jesus while you still can. That is what I would plead with you. Turn to Jesus while you still can. His patience is so that you can come and repent. That is what we want to proclaim. That is what we want to preach. That's what we want to say to the world. Come to Jesus while you still can, because that rope will run out. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, this time is coming. And then as we close, what is the use of all of this? Why all of this? How do you respond to this? Worship the Lord and praise Him. Look at God's patience, praise God. Sing these songs next week, this month, as you memorize those verses. I mean, let them. Next week, don't even, you know, you want to work so hard this coming week, you know. By next week, when Murudi stands there and read, you don't even read, closing your eyes. You're like, I want Lucy already to already take out this light, because it's in my heart. I want to live this. I want to behold this. I want to cling to it because it's so real. I want to praise God. I want to glorify God. I want to just delight in Him because these truths are real. This is what I have seen. I want to own it. Worship God and praise Him. Delight yourself in His attributes. They are for us to enjoy. Do not stop praying for unbelievers or for your loved ones. Some of us have parents who do not believe, brothers, sisters who do not believe, neighbors, colleagues, spouses, all of that, children. Don't stop praying. God is at work. Continue praying. Don't write anyone off. Continue praying. God is kind. He's a merciful God, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And He does pardon. Let's continue just pouring out our hearts and praying. Pray for the world. Pray for Pretoria West. Pray as we pray for our townships. Pray for the villages. Pray for the other churches. God, make them go out and the church and the gospel to expand and get to nations. We want to continue just God's patience to just make us pray more. There's been more people to be saved. God, save more in this time. Save more. We want to be on our knees. Do not beat yourself or condemn yourself when you struggle with your sin. A lot of times, sometimes you're struggling with something and you really do not like what you struggle with, but you have this stone that is right there. Do not beat yourself and condemn yourself when you're struggling. God does not condemn. Christ has died for that sin. And God is continuing to work in your life. And God patiently is working with you, and He's working, and He's going to work, and He's going to work. And guess what? Philippians 1:6, He will perfect you. He will perfect you. Continue looking to Jesus, trusting in Him. Look at all the graces He's given you. You are in prayer, you are in His word, you are in His church, you are fellowshipping, and you're looking, and you're like, I'm beholding Christ, and not let the sin that I so struggle with make me just be like that. Christ died for it. Look to Him. Don't act like you could save yourself. No, you cannot. You did not. Look to Him and continue beholding Christ. Because God, even within, still with that sin that He knows about, is patiently working with you. He's working with you. What's your hope? He will perfect you. You will be perfected. You will be righteous. Because you are righteous. You will be holy. He's making you holy. You will come spotless. Just like that. God is at work. Don't condemn yourself. Sin is a struggle. We should struggle, yes, but don't let it suck out your joy. Christ has died for that sin. Go back to him and throw it because he died for it. And he knows. And lastly, the last point, how do you respond? Desire to be like God. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in you, to give you a heart of patience. Be patient with others, just as God is patient with you. I mean, we know our struggles. You know, you struggle with other people. Parents, I mean, I know how I struggle with my children. You know, the staff, like, you know, people that you work with, colleagues. There's just a lot of stuff. But God says we need to be. And the Bible says that is the fruit of the Spirit. Pray that God would help you. Be like him, because he desires for us to be like him in that way. So we thank him for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank him that God is patient and he has been patient with us who are believers. And we pray for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Take this day, go home, ask God to forgive your sin while his patience is still there before that bomb detonates. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you that you have made a way for us. I mean, where indeed would we be if it wasn't for you? Thank you that you have worked salvation for us. And so we pray that you'd help us to delight ourselves in this, in who you are, to behold you. For who is like you, O God? We want to thank you for every blessing now we get to enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have been patient with us. And now we are your children, and we want to thank you for that, that we can call you our Father, and we can enjoy you and know you, fellowship, do life, knowing we are in right standing with you, not because of anything in ourselves, but because of what you have done. We want to thank you for that. And we pray, oh God, that these truths would fill our hearts, would memorize them, would take them and would live by them. And Lord, that this will be the truth we will declare to many people that are out there, that they would remember your patience and that would call them to come and to come. For your arms are still open to embrace them and forgive them and wash them clean through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.